broken by sin and all its illusion. I weigh the gain against the loss. Oh, but I found the answer in the midst of confusion. I found victory at the foot of the cross.
I found victory at the foot of the cross. There the Savior conquered it all.
Now I have joy that only He gives me. He saved my soul from eternal loss. Oh, and thank God when I climbed Calvary's mountain, I found victory at the foot of the cross.
I found victory at the foot of the cross. Where the Savior conquered it all.
Glad to know that I found victory at the foot of the cross, and I hope you are as well. Won't you turn with me over to page number 139. Page 139, everybody stand, everybody sing together, At Calvary. Sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride,
number 120, page 120, let's sing Victory in Jesus. sing out now.
I heard an old, old story, how a sinner came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, how his precious blood atoned me. When I repented of my sins and won the victory.
It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening, and I hope that you had a great day today. It's been a good day. The Lord's been good. Amen.
Amen.
I had an opportunity to be in his house this morning. Thankful for the preaching of the word. The choir's done a great job today. We're trying our best to make things ready for Easter, which is right around the corner. It's about 3 weeks away, I believe, from today. So you be much in prayer for us as we try and concentrate on some songs that we might sing and that we might celebrate the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we look forward to a great day. We'll have Sunday morning service on Easter Sunday morning, no evening service. And then please go ahead and make plans. Bring all your family with you and let's celebrate the Lord together. But again, it's good to see you. Please remember all of the prayer requests that were mentioned this morning, and it was a pretty lengthy list, but please remember all those. And Brother Ceylon, do you have a word for us?
Miss Christie, would you come down here, please? It's my honor to, since this is Pastor's Wife Appreciation Month, they kind of slipped up on me, really, but almost the end of the month. But I thought about all that she does for our church. And I thought about, well, I'll list some of the things, but I don't have enough time to tell you all that she does for us. And it's my privilege to be able to present to her a little token of our appreciation and our love for her and for all that she does for us.
Thank you all so much, and thank you, Brother Ceylon. And I love serving with each one of you, and I love you all dearly.
Amen. I'm sure Brother Ceylon is right. The list would be very long. And she does so much behind the scenes, and she's such a blessing to us. And we could never thank her and praise the Lord enough for her, but we are so thankful for our pastor's wife. You just continue to pray for her. She has a big role to fill. She's a support for our pastor, and I know he would be the same way. The list would just go on and on, but we are so thankful, to have them, and so thankful for her and this pastor's appreciation. Why? And, what a great time to celebrate her tonight. Brother Don, would you take us a little word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service? I wasn't really thinking very much about it when I asked Brother Randy if he'd play this song for me tonight, but it looks as if though we may have some more storms raging that are coming in our direction. Those are supposed to hit sometime late night, early morning, so we just let's just pray for one another that the Lord will keep us safe. And this song kind of goes right along with that. It says, Lord, just keep me safe till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan's whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, and there's no hope by and by. But I know that thou art with me, and Tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the sky. Listen now. Now when the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by.
That song, been a little while since I've heard it, but still holds true today. The Lord is there for us, and if you're in a scary place today, just ask the Lord to walk you through. He'll do it. He'll keep you safe. He'll teach us a few things along the way as well. And but anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And so it looks like we are having service between two storms, one earlier and one later. But we won't keep you long tonight. But I do want to mention some things out of the book of Philemon, which is right before the book of Hebrews. The book of Philemon is one of my favorite books. It's a book with one chapter, has 25 verses in it. Of course, the Apostle Paul is the writer, and it was written from Rome while Paul was imprisoned. And it's to Philemon. To Philemon. And tonight I want to talk to you about Paul's message to Philemon. Paul's message to Philemon. I preached from this book several times through the years. I've preached on one of my favorite is God Bless the Broken Road, because there's a servant in this book named Onesimus, and we'll get into him here in just a little while, but evidently he betrayed his master. He left, his master being Philemon, and he left down a broken road, left behind a broken road. And he ended up getting saved, and we'll mention some more of those details in a bit. But then he comes back, I believe, with this copy of Philemon to deliver to him. And God bless the broken road in the life of Onesimus. Some of you may remember a song entitled that, God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You. And God's still blessing broken roads tonight. He is. If your road is broken, if you let Him, He'll bless it. And He will direct your steps. But I just want to read one verse as our text verse tonight. That's verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you'll meet with us in the next few moments as we look into your living word and apply it to our hearts. Holy Spirit, help us to be encouraged, enriched, and educated even by the time we leave tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. So I want to share with you some things, just a few things tonight when it comes to this person, Philemon. And I want to talk about, number one, that Paul, he characterizes Philemon. He challenges Philemon. And then we see his confidence in Philemon. And I'm just going to get the lesson out there. Y'all stay with me as long as you can. I know it's been a long day, and I know it's rainy, and tomorrow's Monday. But there is a message here, and I'm just going to let it fall where it falls, and whoever it applies to, it applies to. Number one, when it comes to Paul's message to Philemon, we see that he characterizes Philemon. Verse number one, we see he was, Philemon that is, a person loved, dearly beloved. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So he was a man that was loved dearly. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to be loved dearly by someone? It's a better feeling to be loved, and you could probably say this is the same word, but a little bit different, so loved by someone. But nonetheless, we have here that Philemon, he was dearly beloved. He was a brother that was loved, and I believe he was a brother in the Lord that was gracious and kind even. You say, well, he had a servant. Yeah, he had a servant, not a slave. All right, and I know that there's a difference there, and sometimes those two words are used interchangeably, but I don't believe that Philemon had it hard. I mean, I don't believe Onesimus had it hard. I don't believe that he had it rough there. That's just my belief. If Philemon is a Christian man, then he had Christian character, and he was good to his servant, yet his servant broke his heart. And so we see that he was a person loved, but then we see he was a person that labored. Again, the Bible says, dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Philemon was a worker of the faith. Not only did he say that he, does the scripture say that he was a possessor of faith in so many words, but he was a worker of faith as well. He was a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. And that's the goal, isn't it? That's the target. Not to just say we're saved, but actually put our salvation into shoe leather. Not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. But at any rate, Philemon was a person that labored. He was a person loved. But then in verse number 5, Paul characterizes Philemon by saying that he was a person that lived it out. Not only he worked, but he lived out his faith. As an example, verse number 5, the Bible says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And so Paul said that not only do I know Philemon, but I heard about him. I heard of his love and of his faith that he has toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. He was a man that loved. And he was a man, again, that was a possessor of faith and lived out his faith. How many times do we have to be reminded that we must not only be people of faith, that is, if we're saved, we must live out our faith, but we must operate out of love. operate out of love and being like the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see here that he was a person that lived it out. It was heard about this kind of person Philemon was. He was a man dearly beloved. He was a fellow laborer. He was a man of love and a man of faith that lived it out. So Paul kind of eases into his message by lifting up or promoting Philemon and his character. But then I want to say, he was a person that left a mark. In verse number 7, the Bible says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Philemon, he left a mark on people. What kind of mark did he leave on people? He left a refreshing mark on people. He wasn't a depressing Christian, meaning if you talk to him for 5 seconds, you walk away depressed. And listen, we know that that happens. There's a time and place for that, to share burdens. But he was a refreshing Christian. He was one that would cross your path and he would ask you about your day, and he would ask you, "Is there anything that I could pray for you about? Is there anything that you need?" And that's just the kind of person that's characterized by Paul when it comes to this man, Philemon. And so he characterizes Philemon by saying he was loved and he labored. He lived it out and he left a mark. Now I want to take a step further tonight when it comes to Paul's message to Philemon. Not only he characterizes Philemon, but he challenges Philemon. What kind of challenge does he give to this man, Philemon? Well, it has to do, number one, with forgiveness. Now, it starts in verse number 10, where Paul really begins to talk about Onesimus and the situation that went on at his house and some things about Onesimus. Listen to verse number 10. He says, "I beseech thee," or beg thee, "for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." I want to stop right there for just a moment and say this. It is with the context of this little book and the words that describe the situation, I believe that Onesimus, when he left his master's house, he left down a broken road and he landed in jail. I believe that. Notice what he says again. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Paul is writing this from jail. Onesimus got saved, in all likelihood, in jail. You know, sometimes we hear about people getting saved in jail. You're like, "Oh, that's just that jailhouse religion. They got in trouble. That's the only reason why they say that, you know, that they're saved and they trust Jesus. Let them get out. They'll go back to their old ways." That ain't the case for everybody. Amen. Listen, this Onesimus, I believe that God orchestrated, even when Onesimus, whatever he did, whatever crime against his master he committed, whether it was something that he stole and he just got up abruptly and left, he ended up in jail. But God made sure that he ended up by who he needed to be by, and that is the Apostle Paul. Now, verse number 11, and so Paul says, again, right quick in verse number 10, "whom I have begotten in my bonds." This word describes the new birth, or that Onesimus got saved. Verse number 11, "which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." He says, Philemon, I want you to know something. Whenever you read this letter, you're going to be reading it in one hand and looking at Onesimus eyeball to eyeball, and you're going to have certain feelings towards him. But I want you to know that he got saved and he used to be unprofitable, but now he's profitable. You know, I feel like that back before I got saved, my life was a blur. I really feel like I was an unprofitable person, and I'm not talking about finances or money. I'm just, anything I touched went to mud, and, you know, had no balance in my life, no foundation. But since I met the Lord, and He, if I could say it this way, was deposited in me, the Holy Ghost, He is the one who has made me profitable. He is the one who has called me into the ministry. He is the shine figuratively speaking, that is on me. It's His light that's in me. It's not me. And so the Lord has a way of turning those who are unprofitable profitable whenever they meet Him. And so this is what Paul is beginning to preach to Philemon. Verse number 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Look at verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. And so Paul, in his message to Philemon, he challenges him to forgive him. He says that, yes, Philemon, you know, perhaps he departed from you, and perhaps it wasn't a good goodbye, and perhaps it was an abrupt leaving, departure. Perhaps he stole from you. Perhaps he got gain from you. Perhaps. But he says he met Jesus and he's different. And I want you to forgive him. I want you to receive him. And you could be thinking, as Philemon reading this letter, well, wait a minute, Paul, you just don't know what he did to me. You just don't know the money that I've lost. And I can just hear Paul saying back to Philemon, yeah, Philemon, but you're a Christian, and Christians forgive. Listen tonight, I'm not saying forgiving others is easy. Sometimes when we are offended, it hurts and it cuts to the deepest part of our hearts, and it seems like the devil knows exactly what area to hit. But at the end of the day, if we're forgiven, we must forgive. If you want to be able to sleep peacefully at night, you must forgive. So that's what Paul is doing with this message. He is sending it by Onesimus that got saved. And Onesimus says, here, Philemon, read. And Philemon begins to read. He's looking at Onesimus. And he's reading. And he's looking at Onesimus. And he's thinking, this ain't the man I know. But this is Paul writing this. And he's saying here that I have begotten him in my bonds. He's saying, receive him, mine own bowels. What do I do? So the question tonight is there anybody that you must forgive? Is there anybody I must forgive? And so we see that he challenges Philemon to forgive Onesimus, but then he challenges Philemon to foresee Onesimus. Look at verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He wants him to foresee him in a different light. Not now as a servant. Oh, come on back here, Onesimus. Yeah, I heard you got saved. Get back to work. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. So now he's challenged not only to forgive him, but to foresee him not as a returning servant, but returning as a brother. Wow, what a big challenge by Paul to mention it like this. I want you to receive him not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so we see here that God truly did bless Onesimus and his pathway that was broken. God blessed that broken road and led him back to his master. Will he forgive him? Will he forgive him? And so we see his challenge was to foresee Onesimus, but then the challenge was to favor Onesimus. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. So he's asking him to favor Onesimus. Paul is asking Philemon to favor him, Onesimus, for Paul's sake. I love verse number 18. If he hath wronged thee, which we know he did, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. That phrase, put that on mine account, there's a word that's used there, or there's a word that describes what that is in doctrine, Bible doctrine, and it's the word imputation. Imputation. If I were to take my check by the bank in the morning and deposit it, what is on my check exactly would be placed to my account. I have put in, imputed money on my account. All right? And so Paul is saying here, if he has wronged you and he owes you anything, put that on my account. Does that, do y'all see a picture here? Yes. And what the picture is Jesus in us. When a person gets saved, our sin, our wrong, our rebellion, and all of that is placed on Jesus, imputed to him, but then his righteousness is placed or imputed on our account. That's why the only thing that will get somebody into God's heaven is not good works, but it's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, whatever Onesimus did, just put that on me. Whatever he owes you, just put that on my account. I'll pay for it. I have sufficient funds. There is nothing that Onesimus could have possibly done that I can't take care of. And thank the Lord, no matter how filthy and rotten and dirty and stinky a lost person is, Jesus will say, hey, I have enough righteousness for you too. So what a blessing it is tonight to know that there is real imputation here seen in this letter to Philemon from Paul by the hand of Onesimus. And so we see he characterizes Philemon. He challenges Philemon, but then we see his confidence in Philemon as well. Verse number 20, he says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Look at verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And so Paul here places a tremendous level of confidence that Philemon will do the right thing and forgive. Again, it's hard to forgive sometimes. But when we think about how much God has forgiven us, you know, we should just wave the white flag and say, I surrender and I forgive. I forgive. You know, like someone said one time, Brother Justin, I'll forgive, but I just can't forget. Well, that's another thing. We're not, listen, sometimes things that are done, they hurt, they cut deep, and we won't forget. But we still can move forward in forgiveness. And so I believe that's what one of the messages is here tonight when it comes to Paul and Philemon, is that he wanted him to forgive Onesimus. And he had all the confidence in the world that he would do so. We see he characterizes Philemon, he challenges Philemon, and then his confidence in Philemon as well. That's the message tonight, Paul's message to Philemon. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do, O Lord. And God, we wrestle sometimes. We're not being hard on anybody or the subject of forgiveness. If it was easy, then everybody would do it the first opportunity that they got. Lord, while it's hard to forget, we must forgive. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us do that. If someone is here tonight and they need to release somebody, let them do that. God can bless the broken road. God can change things differently. God can give someone a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And just watch and see how God can work. Let us, Lord, tonight do that. Let us just yield ourselves to you as we start this brand new week. Just reflecting off of this little book, Philemon, and allow the Lord to do a work in our lives. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll give a brief invitation. If nobody comes, we'll close the service. That's the message tonight. Please feel free to come if you need to come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy
anybody else tonight, feel free to come. Feel free to come. There may be something else you may want to come and pray about, pray after. That's okay too.
Just
altars are open. Anybody else tonight? You know that you're saved tonight. Now it'll be a good night to get saved. Anyone? As these are still praying, we will continue on with the invitation. Playing softly while these are praying. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you so much for coming tonight. Thank you for those who responded tonight and today, all day long. Been a good day here at Calvary, and of course, been a long day for some, with choir practice and all, but had a good choir practice, and just hope everybody has a great week this week. be safe leaving and going home. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Wednesday night. And anything else to mention before we conclude? All right. Brother Alan Young, would you close us out, brother?